From Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri, here's Dr. Van Lees.
God took upon himself the self-maledictory oath. He told Abraham in that action that here is the oath that I swear, and if I can cease to exist, if I can cease to be, my promise will not take place. God swore on himself by his own being, made the promise as sure as it could possibly be. When God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those he saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we are to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio outreach ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees comes to the message entitled, God's Immutability, an Anchor for Our Souls. When it's time for some major surgery, we want to know we're in good hands. We'll certainly want to be sure the entire surgical staff is experienced, cautious, and alert. However, with even the best surgical staff in the world, there are some things that they are powerless to control. Complete peace of mind can be found in no man. Today, we'll study the God whose purposes are good and whose awesome power enables him to accomplish his purposes. The scripture text for today's message is from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. Here once again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace. We've entitled God's Immutability, an Anchor for Our Souls.
Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 13 through 20. This is a passage that speaks of God's promise that he made to Abraham when he established the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, and also mentions an aspect of God's attribute of immutability. But when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Our society is changing in many ways. It's been estimated that one-third of the people of the United States change residences every year. To put it another way, America moves every 3 years. A mobile population. And then there's the constant building and construction. One man who had been driving the expressway of the city for 30 years said he couldn't recall a single month when construction wasn't taking place somewhere on the freeway. And all those years, the city's skyline continued to zig and zag up and down like a jack-in-the-box. As someone said, this will be a fine place if they ever get it built. And what is true of society and cities is also true of individuals. Life is full of changes. Friends of earlier years are forgotten. Relationships crumble under the storms of pressure. Distance, disinterest, and death destroy once happy fellowships. And where, we ask, can we find permanence, stability, and an enduring foundation for our lives? Our text this morning speaks of the unchangeableness of God and His purpose. It's an important passage dealing with the immutability of God, the fact that God does not change in His being and character, and does not change His mind or eternal purpose. The immutability of God is not just an abstract concept that has no meaning for us. It's a basis of hope and confidence. And this text applies this attribute of God to our salvation and proclaims that it gives us hope and an anchor for our souls. As we reflect on what this means and it's applied to our lives, it brings a sureness and a confidence into our Christian living and our relationship to God. First of all, we have a sure hope because God is unchangeable. When we say that God is unchangeable, we mean that He has, as a part of His nature as God, the attribute of immutability. You'll notice in verse 17, after speaking of the oath made to Abraham, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath. God does not change first in His being. We see there's an unchangeableness of His purpose. And in Hebrews chapter 1, it mentions that God Himself does not change. In verses 10 through 13 of Hebrews 1, "And Thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thy hands. They will perish, but Thou remainest. And they will all become old as a garment, and as a mantle Thou wilt roll them up. As a garment they will also be changed, but Thou art the same, and Thy years will not come to an end." Here's a quotation from Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. Malachi 3:6 and James 1:17 also mention God's immutability. In James, it mentions He's not a shifting shadow or something that changes like a fleeting flicker of light would change a shadow. These verses emphasize the constancy of the being and purpose of God. This guarantees that He remains the one and true God, faithful to Himself, to His decrees, and to His works. The application is made in Hebrews 6 that because God is immutable, He has an unchanging purpose that He will surely carry out. Because God is unchangeable, He does not change His mind concerning your salvation and His promises to you. The dependability of God's Word rests entirely upon His unchanging character. He is not only a God of truth, He is truth itself. And therefore, we can rely with complete confidence on whatever He says. Abraham found this to be true in his life. He was given this oath by God in the establishment of the Abrahamic covenant. In Romans 4:21, it mentions that Abraham, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Looking at God's promise from a human point of view, we might say that God has more at stake than we do. We could lose our soul, but He stands to lose His character and His being. He would break His promise, which is an utter impossibility. Also, God does not change His mind. In Hebrews 6:17, it mentions that there is an unchangeableness of His purpose. God has a decree and a purpose that He has established from eternity, and He doesn't change it. And think about this in relationship to God's attribute of omniscience, that God knows all things and has always known all things, and has perfect wisdom in all that He knows. He is infinite in His knowledge and infinite in His wisdom. And so whatever He decrees and sets as a purpose will be absolutely perfect. There's no need for Him to change. In Numbers 23:19, the Scriptures say that God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Has he not said it? Will he not make it good? 1 Samuel 15:29 declares similarly that God does not change his mind. God does not change his eternal plan of salvation for his elect. In Hebrews 6:17, it mentions the heirs of the promise. In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of this purpose, interposed with an oath. If you trust in Christ now, or if you are in Him in a saving relationship with God through faith in Christ, you are an heir of the unchangeable promise and purpose of God. And the Bible is filled with the idea that from eternity, God purposed to redeem a group of people to Himself. That God has known you and loved you, if you are in Christ, forever. That in His omniscience, He set His love upon you from eternity, has always known you and had a plan and purpose for you. And even though you were born at a certain moment in time in history, God has known you forever. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's one of those chapters that gives a grand summary of this idea. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Paul writes, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved." Notice that He chose you before the foundation of the world. He loved you and predestined you to adoption as His child before creation. In verse 7, it mentions that Christ redeemed you. In Him you had redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Verse 11 also mentions an eternal purpose of God. "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. And we are kept because of the Holy Spirit sealing us." In verses 13 and 14, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." Here is the idea that God has known you, redeemed you, applied salvation to you, sealed you with the Holy Spirit, given you a pledge of this inheritance that is yours and His eternal and unchanging purpose. Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, the same idea of an inheritance that is preserved and kept for us by the power of God is mentioned. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Notice that God has caused us to be born again. He has given us an inheritance which is imperishable and will not fade away, and we are protected by the power of God for that salvation. All of these verses speak of God's eternal purpose to redeem a people to Himself. And they speak of the surety of that purpose being accomplished because of the power of God and the unchanging purpose of God. Do you ever struggle with doubts about your perseverance in Christ? You look at the struggles you have in your own life and you're keenly aware of your sin. You're keenly aware of the temptations that come to you and the failures that are in your life. And you look and say, can I be saved with this kind of sin and this kind of struggle that goes on a daily basis? You ever feel that way? Your salvation is ultimately based on God's unchanging purpose and keeping of you. It's based on the immutability of God and the immutability of His decree of election. And that is a basis of assurance because your salvation rests in the eternal counsel of God who does not change His mind and will omnipotently carry out His eternal purpose in your life. God always wills and acts in faithfulness to His eternal decrees. Isaiah 25:1 says it this way, "In perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago." And if you're in Christ now, one of those marvelous things is that He saved you. That He knew you before the foundation of the earth. He set His love upon you. He set a destiny for you. And in a moment in your life, He brought you into a saving relationship with Christ. He caused you to be born again, as Peter declares. Second, we have a sure hope because God has given His word and His oath. Look in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. When God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. In verses 16 through 18, "For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope set before us." We have God's word and we have God's oath. God's word should be enough. It is impossible for God to lie. However, God makes the promise even stronger with an oath that He swears by Himself. Now, this alludes back to Genesis chapter 15 when God established the covenant with Abraham. He was called Abram at that time. His name had not yet been changed. And remember, He had told Abram that you're going to be the heir of all these things. You're going to have this posterity after you. And through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And Abram said, "How will I know this?" And God gave him instructions to carry out a ritual, a rite that was known to Abram. He was to take these animals and cut them in two and lay the pieces parallel to each other, one on either side. And this was a common way of making contracts or covenants at that time. The parties involved would set out the agreements of the covenant. They would animal be sacrificed and the pieces laid side by side. And both persons that are making the agreement would then walk through the pieces together. And they would be swearing a self-maledictory oath. They would be saying that if I fail to keep my promise that I have agreed in this particular covenant, let me be killed and torn to pieces like these animals. Let me cease to be. In Genesis 15, after Abram had cut the pieces, a deep sleep fell upon him, and he saw a vision of a flaming torch and smoking oven passing through the pieces, a theophany, a representation of God passing through the pieces alone. God took upon Himself the self-maledictory oath. He told Abraham in that action that here is the oath that I swear, and if I can cease to exist, if I can cease to be, my promise will not take place. God swore on Himself by His own being, made the promise as sure as it could possibly be. He essentially said, if I can cease to be, then my promise will fail. If I can become mutable, then my purpose of salvation and the promises I have made to you will not be carried out. He was also saying that he will bear the curse of the covenant breaker. Because the one who passes through the pieces and makes that promise when the covenant is broken bears the curse or the penalty of the covenant breaker. And ultimately, that oath was fulfilled with Christ on the cross, bearing the punishment and the penalties of we who were covenant breakers. The struggles we go through in life can be likened to storms that we pass through, and human anchors cannot provide security to the troubles and the stresses that we encounter. But Christ is an anchor that is sure and steadfast. We have the sure hope because of the unchangeable purpose of God and the reality that Christ has accomplished our salvation in accordance with that eternal purpose. In commenting on Hebrews 6:19, Simon Kistemacher writes, "The imagery is vivid and telling. The author paints a picture of the boat, battered by the waves, but held in place by an unseen anchor that clings to the bottom of the sea. So man's soul, buffeted by winds and waves of doubt, has a secure anchor of hope firmly fixed on Jesus. This anchor gives stability to man's soul, and that includes the whole inner life of man with his powers of will, reason, and emotion. We relate to the image of an anchor and express our feelings in the words of Priscilla J. Owens, 'We have an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.'" God's eternal, unchanging plan of salvation, accomplished by Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit, is a sure anchor for us when we go through our struggles. The conclusion of this passage mentions an aspect of our salvation that strengthens our hope and confidence even more. Notice in verses 19 and 20, "This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Remember that priesthood of Melchizedek, where the priest at Abram paid tithes to, the priesthood that was older and greater than the priesthood of Levi and the Levitical priesthood. First, notice there is a mentioning in verse 19 of entering within the veil. Here is a reference to the Holy of Holies, the place where God manifested His presence and His glory. And in the Old Testament period, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and only then, once a year on the Day of Atonement. And only after he had made sacrifices for himself and his family and gone through elaborate purification rites and put on the priestly garments. After all of that preparation, only then could he dare to enter into the holy presence of God, the place in the Holy of Holies where God manifested His glory. And the warning was given in Leviticus 16 that if he presumed to enter into God's presence any time he wanted, he would die. He would be struck dead. And that comes right after the time when Nadab and Abihu offered the unclean fire before God, and the fire came out and consumed them. And then the warning is given that the high priest will not enter any time he wants, but only once a year in this way. But now, through the work of Christ, entrance into the presence of God is made available to those in Christ. We can enter through the veil into the presence of God, have a relationship with Him because of the work of Jesus. And whatever the struggle in your life, your salvation is sure because God is immutable and carrying out His eternal purpose in your life. Christ has accomplished the salvation of this people, and you have access into the presence of God. Cast your cares on Him. Trust Him. Believe His promises. that they are sure and unchanging because He is sure and unchanging. There will never be any deficiency in the work of Christ. Our salvation is as sure as the architect of that salvation, Almighty God. You are chosen by God the Father before the foundation of the earth. God the Son redeemed you. The Holy Spirit applied that to you. If you are in Him, if you are not in Christ, you are commanded by God to believe and repent and throw yourself upon Christ as the only way of salvation.
Because God is sovereign and His will is immutable, we can have peace knowing that we are in His powerful hand. For an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message entitled God's Immutability, an Anchor for Our Souls. Our mailing address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or give us a call, 636-447-5691. That's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is the radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our senior pastor. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10 with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. Home Bible study groups as well as men's and women's Bible studies meet once a month, and they are also an excellent opportunity to build friendship and receive Christian support. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about Covenant of Grace Church and the ministry opportunities available, call our church office at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. Again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request God's Immutability, an Anchor for Our Souls. Our address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. You may also hear today's message over the internet anytime. Just log on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Thanks for joining us today. We invite you back again next time when we once again declare the glory of God's Amazing Grace.